Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hey, Food Nation, Healthy Nation, you are listening to Code Delicious, and I am Dr. Mike. Make sure to check out www.cardiochef.com to find out what I'm up to and where I'll be and what's happening next. And also subscribe to Code Delicious at radiomd.com so you never miss an episode. You can sign up for the podcast if you can't tune in live. And right now we are busy, we're stressed, and we are food obsessed. I have author Lisa Lutan with me today. She's a healthy living strategist, founder of Healthy, Happy, and Hip. And she helps folks. You've probably read some of her work. She's been published in the Huffington Post, Better After 50, Mind Body, Doc Green, and a whole other host of places. And we're here to find out how we can be busy, but not stressed and not food obsessed. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I absolutely love the title. And I love the book. I felt my last book, The Fallacy of the Calorie, really went into a lot of the science behind some of the conditions and the disabilities and diseases that we suffer from today. And I felt this book was just such a wonderful, practical companion to how to break, you know, some of those behaviors that we find ourselves in that make us consume foods that really alter our mood, alter our health, and really bring down the quality of our lives.
Yeah, and I like the fact, sure, I love the fact that, you know, you took the scientific approach, and I tried to take more of a behavioral approach, because I think that, you know, there are so many people who, like doctors, who know more about the scientific aspects. But I try to relate real life, you know, practical strategies, habits, and my own struggles so that people can understand that this is something that is really doable. It isn't being healthy doesn't have to be hard or painful, and that you can just make simple steps and feel amazing.
Wait, well, you kind of notated just a little bit there and said, you know, some personal struggles. Is this sort of a bit of a personal narrative for you, or personal motivation that made you write the book?
Well, I found when I started writing articles, the more I was open about my own struggles, the more people came forward and said, oh my God, she totally understands where I'm coming from. And so that was a voice that seemed to really resonate for people out there. So when I wrote the book, I tried to keep that and really be honest and open about my own struggles, but also I brought in, you know, case studies of what my clients had gone through as well. So it wasn't just one perspective. It's from working with many, many people and really understanding that we have a lot in common. And the more open we are about it, the more we realize that we're not the only one. We think we're the only crazy one out there, but we're not. We're in really good company.
Well, you know, and I know that the book and some of course, your personal background related to, you know, busy professional women and some of the clients you talked about in the book also fit that category. But I've got to tell you, as a busy, often stressed, and totally food obsessed, you know, professional male, I felt, you know, it really related to me too. And just looking at the title, this and the application of these principles, I think really apply to just about anyone who's trying to exist in our crazy, crazy, you know, completely wired 24/7, 365 world. Can you talk a little bit about your struggles that led to your insights?
Sure. And I do agree that it is incredibly applicable for men as well. And because many men have read the book and said the same thing. I tend to work with more women, though I do have male clients, and so I focus the book more for women, but it's absolutely the same thing. My story started years ago when I was in my 20s, and I co-founded a technology company with my then-boyfriend, now husband, way before it was cool to start a tech company. And so we were working our butts off, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours a week and living on junk food like many people in their 20s do. And going along at this year after year after year, and the stress was just relentless. You know, I really just worked and worked and worked. and then got married and had a baby and kept working, and had another baby and kept working, and just like many people out there. But when I was in my early 30s, all of a sudden, I literally collapsed. And although now I can look back and say there were warning signals, at the time, it really just rocked my world in a big way. I thought that I was having a stroke. And the good news is that I did not have a stroke. The bad news is that I was very not okay for a number of years after this incident, because nobody could tell me, A, what was wrong with me, and so I couldn't figure out how to get better. And until I could figure out what the cause was, I had no direction to find the solution. And so at the time, the doctors were just prescribing me medicine, and I kept refusing to take it because they weren't giving me clear-cut answers. So after a few years of this, and really feeling awful and struggling, you know, raising my kids and working in this business and moving into a new home, I said, you know, nobody's going to give me these answers. I'm going to have to find them out for myself. And
well, I've got to tell you, from a professional standpoint, you know, working within, both having exposure to sort of an Eastern approach, but really, you know, working as an interventional cardiologist and the sort of diehard, you know, very science, very data driven Western medicine, I think it was an error of omission, not commission, because, you know, even today when I go out and speak, I just don't think a lot of healthcare providers, physicians, and fortunately I think it's changing. I think back then they probably did not know, and often today still don't recognize how much of a huge impact in our health, in our behavior, you know, and how we feel is related, you know, to the foods we eat and how we approach the food experience.
Well, and I can even be more specific, because in my case, what did happen, what led to my collapse, because I did figure it out eventually, it was a combination of anxiety, which I didn't even know I had because I internalized it all. It was exhaustion, stress, and a proclivity to ocular migraines, which again, I never didn't know I had. So all these things going together. And when I did start researching and learning, I did start making this food connection, particularly to the anxiety component. And when I started cleaning up my diet, I'm sorry?
Oh, I was going to, you brought up a really fascinating point, and something, again, that's sort of on the bleeding edge is I was talking with a leading neuroscientist, PhD, several weeks ago about this, and I learned something, and it really goes to you're talking about, well, you know, anxiety. I never really knew that I might suffer from it. Well, at one point you may not have, at least as of now, and there's probably hundreds more, they found that the gut microbiome, which produces over 25 different neurotransmitters that get into our bloodstream and directly can affect and modulate our behavior. So at some point, that alteration and that susceptibility to anxiety may have literally come from those years of, you know, junk food and fast food and those types of things, because you've altered, you know, what you were growing in your garden. And of course, then we reap what we sow. And so there's kind of that, what you bring up is really a sort of bleeding edge, but really to me, absolutely fascinating connection between sort of behaviors. And there's another study out looking at this and a correlation between depressive symptoms as well. So I think you highlight a very, very important and evolving bit of information.
It's so fascinating. I too am just fascinated with our gut health and the connection to anxiety and depression, and I've been reading up on that quite a bit as well. Before I even made that gut health connection, though, I just had started doing experiments with particularly sugar and noticing personally, and then later with my clients, just what a huge impact sugar had on our moods and anxiety and health. And that was a big turning point for me, because when I first made that connection with sugar, I said, wow, well, if sugar is doing this to me, what are other foods doing this to me as well? And I started creating programs. First, I did it for myself, and then later you know, for clients where we eliminated gluten or dairy or soy, alcohol, sugar, all different things. And even in 7 days, you know, I was seeing phenomenal, phenomenal changes in my clients, how they felt, how they looked, you know, and traditional elimination diets would be 30 days or more, but that's very daunting to people. But they were like, oh, I can do it for a week. And so I've been able to just show people that, hey, even in a few days, your body's going to react to these different foods in such a powerful, powerful way. And that it's worth taking time.
And once again, the science supports you. Several studies, I think one, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure it was done at Harvard, so a pretty reputable place, I think you'd agree, showed that within just 1 day of changing your diet, you can alter the gut microbiome. And of course, as we just said, that can start to alter how you feel, the nutrition to all your organs. Now, as you said, you've got folks doing it, you know, for a long weekend, but you can get it to do it for 7 days. They're going to feel great. I think the 30 days, certainly in my book, I talk about trying to do some behavior modification for 30 days. That's more to reinforce those behaviors than to actually see the benefits. So
exactly.
I think the science supports what you've just said, you know, 100%.
And I support what you just said 100%. I think to make habit changes, we do. But I have found that people are really scared. You know, they're like, I could never do that for 30 days. But they can for 7. And after 7, they go, oh, this wasn't as hard as I thought. I can keep going. And so I've had people who have come for 7 days, and then they make lifelong changes. And others say, no, I don't want to. I can go back to where I was. And the bottom line is you get to choose. You know, this is your body. And if you want to feel crappy, that's your right. But if you want to feel good, you know, there are really some simple things that you can do. And what I have found is that when we try to focus on, I'm not going to eat that because that's going to make me fat, that doesn't work. But if you say, I'm not going to eat that because that's going to make me sad, or that's going to put me, you know, make me anxious, well, that's a whole different story. You know, that's something that we can say, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel like that. And that's when I start noticing people can make real changes.
Well, I think you've hit on a great motivator, because really, who at the end of the day wants to feel bad?
Nobody.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it. Our biological drivers are, you know, very simple. We generally try to avoid things that cause us pain and suffering.
Right.
And we generally try to gravitate towards those things that make us happy and bring us pleasure. And as you said, you know, what I find when I deal with folks is that a lot of times when you say, hey, we're going to get you healthy and we're going to address your diet, immediately people are thinking that they can't have great tasting food.
Right.
And I love in your book how you address that. And really, that's sort of one of my areas of emphasis, is teaching folks that, hey, like the Mediterranean diet, for example, you can have this broad range of absolutely delicious food. You're going to have fat. You're going to have an occasional sweet. You can have all these great things. It's not about, as I like to say, there's no salvation in deprivation. And I read a similar approach in your book, and I thought it was absolutely, absolutely spot on. Do you think you could share a couple of quick tips to get folks started before they run out? And folks, you want a copy of this book. You know, if you want to get on the right track, it's Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed by Lisa Lutan. And also tell the folks where they can pick it up, Lisa.
Now, would you like tips on just being less busy, stressed, and food obsessed, or tips on healthy eating? What type of tips would you like?
So yes, we've got a couple minutes, so share both. We're gonna ring
okay.
you for all the valuable information you got.
Okay, so I would say the first step would be literally to stop and take a breath. Because I think when you're running around crazy, busy, stressed all the time, you don't even hear your body talking to you. And you don't even taste your food because you're eating it so fast that you're not even having any enjoyment from it. So if you can take a pause, you know, throughout the day, especially before eating, and just taste delicious food, that means you're going to eat delicious food, you know, and really appreciate it, you're never going to feel deprived. You're going to feel very fortunate to be eating that healthy food, as opposed to, oh, I have to eat broccoli. You're like, yes, I get to eat this delicious broccoli. So take a breath, appreciate what you have and change your mindset. I mean, there's so much more to it, but the book will say more. The other thing I want to say is sometimes taking a break from something for a little while is a good reset. I'm offering a program actually starting next week, if anyone's interested, called Lose the Booze, where they're just going to give up alcohol for 10 days just to take a break and see, how does that change my sleep? How does that change my appetite? How does that change my clarity and focus? And if anybody, you know, wants information about that, they can just email me, lisa@healthyhappyandhip.com. And while you're visiting my website, healthyhappyandhip.com, you can get a free chapter of my book, which is available on Amazon.
So we kind of have a saying, you know, if you find yourself too busy to stop and meditate or reflect, as you would say, take a breath, because in medical terms, one of our basic tenets of good medicine is oxygen is good. So you should always be breathing. You know, if you find yourself too busy to take 10 minutes a day to meditate, then you probably need 20.
I love that saying. But the truth of the matter is, because I do deal with very type A busy people, start with a minute. You know, don't put that pressure on yourself. Start with a minute, and when you got the minute down, go to 2 minutes and work your way up. Because if 10 minutes seems daunting, it's a minute's better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I think that that is really important, too. And I loved what you said, one of the tips for sort of breaking the dietary patterns, you know, which I talk a lot about in my book, is how the modern Western diet, because it's been crafted by a food industry, agribusiness and a food industry, is actually really, really built on reinforcing at a subconscious level addictive behaviors through things like sugar, salt, and fats, and the way they're layered and combined. But if you can go and get something fresh that really wakes up your taste buds, you know, as a cardiologist, here I am, I've got my little defibrillator pads, and they're very tiny. We want to put them on your tongue and just pop those taste buds right back to life with something delicious, you know. So, you know, once a day, I would say, you know, try to break that dietary pattern that you're in that can be so negatively reinforcing, and try to eat something fresh and delicious that uses spices and maybe herbs as flavoring profiles instead of just these condiment sauces and these oils and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Eat real food, the best quality food you can get your hands on. And the more you add the fresh, good stuff, the less you really want the other stuff. So it's not about taking away crap. It's adding delicious wonderfulness, and then you really don't want the other stuff.
And part of your program kind of goes actually beyond just the food, but you actually help people, you know, alter their behaviors and increase exercise. And that's something that, you know, again, in my other hat as a cardiologist, we often folks say, well, you know, I don't like to exercise. How do I do that? Do you have maybe just one or two tips before we close out the segment to kind of help folks change that aspect of their life as well?
Yeah, I mean, think of it as play. Like, what did you like to do as a kid? If you like to dance, you know, go dance in your boxer shorts around the house. You know, it doesn't have to be going to a gym and doing something you hate. You know, did you like riding your bike?
What if you were kind of a what if you were a delinquent kid like me and you like to stay in the kitchen and cook?
I think that probably served you really well. You know, so watch a cooking show on the treadmill. You know, like, find ways to make it enjoyable and have
there you
fun
go.
With it. And that's the key. It should be something that you love and enjoy and makes you feel good, not makes you feel bad. And if you're sitting there counting the calories on the thing, then that's not a good thing for you. You know, this is something, a wonderful gift that we can move our bodies.
And absolutely not effective either. And that's we'll have to bring you back for a whole nother topic discussion on why we shouldn't calorie count. But once again, real quick before we go, if you could let folks know where to go, where to find you, and what's coming up. Folks, you want a copy of Busy, Stressed, and Food Obsessed by Lisa Lutan. Is it healthyhappyandhip.com?
Yes.
And anywhere else they can contact you, Lisa?
They can email me at lisa@healthyhappyandhip.com. Happy to tell you about my programs, the book, visit on Amazon. It has 52 five-star reviews. I'm happy to report.
Well, thanks so much. It's been great.